Dr. Allison Arwady is the, as you know, I think we all know, the head of the Chicago Department of Public Health. Dr. Arwady, thank you very much for taking time out to join us.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Well, I don't know how many. I mean, I've got thousands of questions here. So one question is, we've got Omicron here. How much is it here? How impactful is it? And before you answer, I want to add this in. I talked 2 days ago to a director of medicine with a long title, very important guy, at University of Chicago, at their hospital. He said each and every 100% of those in the hospital right now for COVID-19 are unvaccinated. Spoke to someone at Northwestern University on the radio. He said the overwhelming percent are still unvaccinated in their hospital. So I want you to comment on both of those.
Yeah, that is what we are seeing across the whole city. People are welcome to go to our website if you want to look at what that looks like across the city. But we're seeing this huge surge of Omicron cases, big increase in hospitalizations. And although we are seeing some more what we call breakthrough infections, meaning there are some people who have been vaccinated who are getting COVID, they're getting mild cases. The people who are getting sick and ending up in the hospital, and unfortunately the ones driving, our hospitals getting more full, are almost exclusively folks who are not yet vaccinated here in Chicago. So I completely agree with that. And it just, it makes me sad that we've got such a safe and effective and widely available vaccine, and we still have people, unfortunately, getting sick and dying from COVID when most of that, not all of it, but most of it is preventable. So I agree.
So if you have a vaccination, meaning one of the, either the Pfizer vaccine or the Moderna vaccine, if you have either of those vaccines, appropriate vaccines, you have two, and are not yet boosted, are your odds greater of a breakthrough and getting sick in that breakthrough or sicker?
Yes, they are. And we've got that data up on the website, too, if people want to explore it. Basically, the biggest risk is not being vaccinated at all. But then when people have had a booster, we see lower rates of infection, lower rates of hospitalization. So absolutely, the booster helps. And the big studies that were done internationally with the Omicron variant, getting boosted brought those antibody levels back up and the protection almost to as good as they were prior to Omicron. So boosters, really important also. I'm most worried about people who haven't had a vaccine at all, but people who are due for a booster, we definitely want them to go ahead and get it 6 months after Moderna or Pfizer, or just 2 months after J&J.
Now, this quarantine issue has become very complicated here. How long do we need to quarantine, and under and under what circumstances?
Yeah. Let me try to make it simple, because I'm not sure how it got quite so complicated in all of the wording here. Basically, what we've seen is that with Delta, and then even more so with Omicron, everything is moving faster with COVID. People get infected faster, they get sick faster, they don't stay as sick as long, they don't shed COVID as long. And so we've been able to drop, we used to isolate for 14 days, and then it was 10 days, et cetera. CDC recommends now, really, for general population, dropping to 5 days, and that's for both isolation and quarantine. If you've got somebody who is not fully vaccinated and boosted, if they're an adult, if they're basically not as vaccinated as they could be, they don't need to quarantine. So kids can continue not needing to quarantine if they're in school and they're vaccinated for age. Adults can continue not needing to quarantine even if they have an exposure if they're vaccinated and boosted. But broadly speaking, we've changed the timing of that down to just the 5 days, because there's data showing that really the chance of somebody spreading COVID, especially if they're vaccinated and boosted, but even if not, if it's been 5 days and their symptoms have resolved, they're not really spreading COVID. And so that's the setting in which that was changed. So everybody should know, you get a positive test, consider it positive, isolate at home, minimum of 5 days. And if you're feeling totally well, which many people who are vaccinated and boosted are, you can go out then, but you got to wear a mask. You should continue to be careful for the next 5 days. And then on the quarantine side, you don't need to quarantine if you're fully boosted, as vaccinated as you can be for age. Other than that, the quarantine side there is 5 days also.
All right, question from a listener, text, ask Dr. Arwady, why the drive-through mass testing sites have not been reopened. It's so difficult to get a PCR now. Before you answer, ask Dr. Arwady. You talk about testing, Dr. Arwady, as do other experts. Where do I get the test? I've tried several drugstores. I can't find it anywhere. I don't feel that well. I don't want to wait out in line exposed to other people for 3 hours in the cold. And by the way, 10 questions just like that.
All right. So a couple things. One is at-home tests are harder to get right now, for sure. The federal government has invoked the Defense Production Act, so we'll be able to get more of them. We've distributed about 150,000 of those rapid tests, you know, in a lot of the neighborhoods and settings where they're most needed. But I know it's harder for folks to get them. I would strongly encourage anybody who's got resources, you can order them online. They might not come today, but they'll come in the next few days. I just ordered some for myself last night. I think they're coming the 3rd. And so I would really, those are reimbursable by insurance, covered by FSA, HSA, while the feds are working to make more and more of them available. I strongly encourage you to order them and have them available. And every day there are more coming into pharmacies. It's just that they are really popular right now. If somebody is not feeling well, like they think they have COVID, they don't have an at-home test, they don't want to stand there, it is a good chance you have COVID. Right now, if you're feeling like you have a new flu or a new cold, really with the numbers how they are right now, probably it's COVID. Stay home, isolate for 5 days. And we would, you know, do that even if you can't get a test result that fast back. If you're feeling better after 5 days, you can feel confident that, you know, you'd be unlikely to be spreading COVID. Even if you were positive, keep wearing the mask. But the most important thing while testing is stretched is that, I want people trusting the test result they get. We see people get a positive at-home test and then scramble to go and hope they're going to get a negative PCR test. Like, no, positive is positive. Treat it as a positive. Stay home, quarantine. Obviously, if you're not vaccinated, you are at higher risk for severe outcomes, and be in touch with your doctor, certainly. But testing is stressed right now, and that's true across the whole country. It's taking longer for PCRs to come back. I could stand up more tests and stick more swabs in noses, but that would actually do very little to speed up the turnaround time, just because we're breaking records in the city, the state, and nationally, and the lab capacity across the U.S. is stretched.
So just to be clear, those tests, those rapid tests, are accurate?
They are accurate. Yes, they are accurate. I like them a lot because you don't have this delay with the lab. And when the system gets stretched, that's when we see a problem. So if you have an at-home, this is the same thing I tell my staff. You have an at-home test, you take it, it's positive. That there are very, very few false negatives with that test. If it is positive, you have COVID, especially if you have symptoms. You don't need to go out and be repeating it and getting the up-to-date test, et cetera. You need to stay home and quarantine, really, for those 5 days. Treat that as a positive. But they're accurate. And especially if it's positive, it's good. If it's negative, you know, and you test it early in infection, it can still come positive later. That's part of why we encourage people to do, ideally you're doing a second one of those in a few days, but a positive test, antigen at home, that's a great test. It's positive.
All right, let's go to the phones. We have lots of phone calls. Ruth, you're on WGN.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Ruth.
Oh, I didn't hear my name. Okay, I'm sorry. The thing I wanted to ask you that's bothering me, I'm scheduled to have a booster shot next week, and I have heard conflicting things about the necessity for these booster shots, and, you know, so 6 months down the line, will we need another one, and then another one as new variants may appear? I think that for the immune system, I mean, I like to feel that your immune system will kick in, and that I'm wondering if I should get the booster shot. I've had 2 Moderna shots.
Yeah. Okay, great. Good question. So first of all, I definitely would recommend you get the booster shot. Here's what we're seeing happen with Omicron. It's moving so fast that when the antibody levels drop, we're seeing people get infected even in their nose, and maybe, you know, the later part of your immune system, your T cells, the part that kicks in after the fact and kills infected cells, that's continuing to work pretty well. If you've had both of your Moderna vaccines, that's why your protection for hospitalization is good. But it's better with the booster, and with the risk as high as it is right now, I would strongly recommend, especially right now, getting that booster shot. I've gotten one myself. Mm-hmm. And I really recommend it for my family to do it. In terms of, are we going to need boosters forever? I hope not. I don't know that for a fact. The shot that you're getting now is the same. It's not a different one that's been made for Omicron, but it's been shown that boosters do really bring that protection level back up. In the study in the UK, for example, with Omicron, we went from about an 80% protection for folks who were vaccinated, but more than 6 months after their primary series. With Omicron for infection, it dropped all the way to 30%. That's why we're hearing so much about breakthroughs. But when people got a booster, it went back up to 75%. So knowing that you've gotten your first two doses of Moderna, you've done the most important thing in terms of helping keep yourself out of the hospital. But getting a booster shot, especially with Omicron here, will absolutely add to your protection against infection, and it will add to your infection, your protection against being hospitalized. And we've seen that right here with Chicago data.
Well, you know, we deal all the time, as you do much more than us on the radio, I'm certain, with people who just don't want to be vaccinated. There's the other side of the coin. For example, right now in Israel, they are looking at and considering yet another booster for healthcare workers and those over the age of 60. They're in clinical trials right now. Would it, and I know people, Dr. Arwady, who have crossed state lines from Illinois or other states that have gotten yet another booster. Would you suggest why not? Or do you think that's a good idea or a bad idea?
So I really try to follow the data at all times when we're looking at decisions, making recommendations. Israel, to be clear, has not actually recommended that dose. They are looking at it. Israel was one of the countries, really, the first to vaccinate, even before the U.S. They had a lot of availability and pretty widespread vaccination. And so they've continued to push boosters hard because it does bring antibody levels back up. From my standpoint, the fact that we see very good protection against severe illness, even with just this one booster shot, it gets even better. I don't think we're going to keep doing boosters forever. Might we be in a situation where this becomes an annual thing like the flu shot? We might. If we were not seeing this current variant now, I don't think we would have needed the booster. But in the context of seeing how infectious this particular variant is right now, this is what helps protect folks. And so I don't think that people need to be getting a fourth or doing more, but I also do think it's important to get that third dose. And honestly, there are other vaccines. You look at hepatitis vaccine, for example. You know, the original vaccine pattern for that, you're given one and two, and then that third one you give 6 months later, and then that's the end of it. So I don't know for sure what's going to happen long term, but I do know right now, right here in Chicago, with our risk where it is, getting that booster is important. But folks who haven't gotten vaccinated at all, that's who I'm most worried about. That's who's ending up in the hospital. That's who's threatening our hospital capacity. And so I hope, you know, like, honestly, if folks have been waiting, know that there have been almost 8.5 billion vaccines given around the world. We don't have safety concerns. The efficacy is really good. And I just don't want you in the hospital. And I don't want to threaten our hospital capacity in Chicago, because that would be the thing that would really, if we really saw ourselves running out of space for hospitals, that's the kind of thing that would have to trigger more action at the city level. And I really don't want to do that. I want to stay open. I want to, you know, live with COVID as much as we can. But that means doing all the things that we can do to be as protected as possible.
So many questions here. Lisa, you're next. Hi.
Hi. My son recovered from COVID. He came out of quarantine Christmas Eve. He's already had the first two shots. My question is, when can he get his booster?
Is your son over, how old is your son?
He's 22 years old, and his COVID symptoms are gone, and he finished his quarantine on Christmas Eve.
Perfect.
10
yeah.
days in.
Okay, good. I was just making sure he wasn't like a younger child. So yeah, he can get his booster now. As soon as you are out of that isolation quarantine period, you are free to get a booster. And I am encouraging people to go ahead and do that. Very early on in the pandemic, we were recommending, when vaccines were not very widely available, that people wait at least 3 months. And it was true previously that if you had just recovered from COVID, the chances were pretty good that you wouldn't get reinfected in those first 3 months. But But what we've seen, especially with Omicron, is that prior infection really confers almost no protection against Omicron. So on the off chance that your son's, COVID was Delta, I really would recommend him to get that booster, and he does not need to wait, and that's true for everybody else over 18. You don't need to wait beyond just that isolation period when your symptoms are gone to get either your first, your second, or your booster shot of COVID.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa. Dr. Arwady, I want to try this on you. It goes back to my virology 101 1,000 years ago. So If the virus, which in theory over time doesn't want to kill us, because if it does that, it can't replicate to other people. Over time, is Omicron what has happened between the vaccines and immunity, unfortunately, people may have either to Omicron or other variants before it, we reach some sort of, this term has been bantied about and I think misunderstood by some, herd immunity. Could it be that right now we are experiencing what could be the storm before things actually do get better, because our bodies, combined with the vaccines, have helped us to adjust to it? I am not articulating all of this as well as I want to, but hopefully you get the gist.
Yeah. So what I would say is it is certainly reassuring that this variant is not any worse, any more virulent than Delta. And you're right that at the end of the day, you know, its main goal is to continue replicating, continue copying. The concern, and one of the worries that we had in South Africa, is that is actually a population that has seen a lot of COVID infections. Like, they estimate that probably 70 to 80% of the country, when they do serology, previously had COVID. And yet, we didn't see a lot of protection, you know, from the variant. However, we didn't see a lot of hospitalizations, right? And so if we can continue, you know, but people need they need a level of immunity. And, if we were sitting in a fully vaccinated population right now, I'd say there's not a lot of chance here in Chicago, you know, that you would be getting hospitalized, be getting seriously ill. If we could get COVID down to the point where it was behaving more like the flu, that's what people always compare it to. Unfortunately, it's been like 10 times as lethal and more likely to put you in the hospital as the flu. If we could get to a point where it is more mild, kind of like it's appeared in children, honestly, and kind of like it's appearing now in people who are vaccinated or boosted, and then not have it continue to mutate, that could be very good news. So it is way early to be able to be that optimistic about it. There are plenty of viruses out there that have never mutated to be not lethal, or they don't necessarily kind of, quote, get weaker. But I am, you know, the good news about this one is it does seem to be moving fast. And honestly, people, if they haven't been vaccinated, there's a good chance they're going to get COVID this time around, I would think, just with how infectious this is. And I hope people aren't taking their chances with that. But if they are, at some level, we are going to see more protection probably across the population. The question will just be, will that last against potential future variants?
All right. So many texters asking, I've had COVID. Some say recently, some say it goes back a few months, but nothing further back than that. And their doctors are telling them, do not get the booster yet. I want your comment on that, because that seems to be different than what I thought you said earlier.
Yeah, so as I said earlier, there was initially guidance for people to wait at least 3 months. The risk of reinfection with prior variants really was quite low in those first 3 months, meaning if someone had just recovered from COVID, they were much less likely, you know, to be infected again. However, what we saw in the studies of the Omicron variant as it was emerging in South Africa, Europe, and the UK, was that people who had previously been infected tested with another strain of COVID really did not have any antibody protection against the Omicron variant. And so particularly in that setting, recognizing that most of the people getting infected right now have Omicron, but even if we're talking a few weeks ago, a month ago, that would not have been true. I do remain concerned about people who, you know, are not vaccinated and boosted. And so I am encouraging folks just in this surge right now to go ahead and get that booster. And that is different because of what we've seen with the Omicron variant.
J&J, that vaccine has kind of got lost in the shuffle here. And several people have said, I've gotten vaccinated with the J&J vaccine, but I did not get a booster. One person writes, I don't even know what booster to get.
Sure. So that's a great question. So in, again, these studies that were done with Omicron, we saw decreased protection against infection with all of the vaccines. That's why we've seen more breakthroughs, although we continue to see good protection against hospitalization and death. But the biggest drop in protection was for people who had gotten both J&J and AstraZeneca. So it's especially important for people who had the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. There's not a problem with it. You've still got protection, you know, some protection against the severe illness. But the most important folks to get that booster would be people who got J&J, if it's been at least 2 months. And both we and the CDC do recommend for that booster getting either a Pfizer or Moderna. That had the best chances of really increasing those antibodies up higher. But just today, actually, J&J released that in its own data, when people got a second booster and it was with J&J, that also continued to have good protection against hospitalization. But it is important that people get a second vaccine if they got J&J. And particularly with Omicron, I would strongly recommend getting either a Moderna or a Pfizer.
All right. So to be clear, because I was confused a little bit there, but, you know, I easily confuse. To be clear, if you got the J&J, you're better off getting one of the mRNA vaccines.
That's right. If you got the J&J, no problem. But the booster that we would recommend, the second vaccine that we would recommend, would be either Moderna or Pfizer. If there are people who feel very strongly about sticking with J&J, they can. The most important thing is that they get a booster. But I would, get all things being equal, recommend getting Moderna or Pfizer over J&J for that booster.
Lois, you are on WGN. Hi, Lois.
Hi. All right. I have a question related to Johnson & Johnson. In March, I had a Johnson vaccine. In December, I had the Pfizer booster. Now, I feel like I should really even get another one because everybody is getting three. But I heard I can't because something to do with the Johnson hasn't been approved for an extra vaccines or something like that. So what would your suggestion be? Am I eligible to take another shot of Pfizer or something like in a couple of months?
Dr. Arwady? Oh, her signal dropped.
Oh.
Lois, I hear you say, oh.
Oh, boy.
Well, we're calling her back. So I understand your question, and I totally get what you're saying. I'm in the camp where I'm thinking, okay, I've had both Moderna vaccines. I've had the Moderna booster. I'm thinking, since I got the booster fairly early on, it might not be a bad idea. I'm watching closely what happens in Israel, because Israel is doing clinical trials, and they have been doing this, and they seem to be ahead of us all along, where they've given now a fourth vaccine to some people. Yeah, I know.
That's why I feel like I need another one.
All right. Is she back with us? Haley? Okay. Dr. Arwady?
Was that a question about whether another booster is needed?
Yes. Carol, quickly repeat your question. Oh, my goodness. What's going on with our phone lines? Now she's gone, huh? I don't know. Yeah, so she had the J&J vaccine. She had a booster for that, and she wants to know, and I don't remember the timeline, but she wants to know if another booster would be a good idea.
Yeah, no, she's fine. If you had the first J&J, that's considered a primary series. You just need to get one booster at this point. So, you don't. If you got one J&J shot, you should get one shot of either Pfizer or Moderna, and you are fully up to date with your vaccines.
Okay, so another question about quarantining. If indeed I've been exposed to someone with COVID, Does that mean I need to quarantine even if I'm vaccinated and boosted? And if so, for how long is this question?
Yeah, good question. No, if you are vaccinated and boosted, you do not need to quarantine after exposure to somebody with COVID. That's also true if for kids who are not eligible for boosters or for people who are not time eligible. Basically, if you're entirely up to date with your vaccinated and boosted, you do not need to quarantine. However, if you are not vaccinated or if you are not up to date, you're not boosted, et cetera, you do need to quarantine. And the recommendation now is to quarantine for 5 days, and then for the 5 days after that, to continue to wear a mask and to be careful.
Oh, it did it again. I had the call locked in, and it happened again. If we get Dr. Arwady back, I don't know why this is happening. The call was locked in, as they say. That's what we say. Your question is about if you have a cold, can you get the booster? Is that right? Wow, we're having crazy phone line problems here.
Are you there, Steve?
I am. Yeah, that's your question, correct?
I'm sorry. I didn't know I was on the line. If somebody has a little cold, cough, minor thing going on, is it okay to get the booster while they have that?
All right. So as we get Dr. Arwady back yet again, I will ask her that question for you, all right?
Very good, Steve.
Okay, you can listen on the radio if we can get her back. Very patient Dr. Allison Arwady is back with us. I don't know what's going on. Maybe our phone line has COVID. Is that possible, Dr. Arwady?
I'm sitting at my desk, and let me tell you, my phone line is very busy, but I don't think it has COVID, although the rest of the world does.
Yeah, it seems it, actually. So I'll just ask you two more questions, and I'll let you go. And again, thank you so much for your patience. The listener said, I've had a cold. Can I get the vaccine as well? I don't know for sure if he has the cold or COVID, because he's not here for me to ask that. But nevertheless, that's what he said.
So definitely he can get the vaccine. I think if he doesn't know for sure if it's a cold or COVID, he should right now just assume it's COVID. And I would wait, you know, at least 5 days after those symptoms have started, and really wait until, you know, 10 days after they've started, just to be totally, totally in the clear there. And then, yes, he can go ahead and get the vaccine. There's no problem with getting the vaccine with a cold. There's no problem with getting the vaccine at the same time as other vaccines. We just don't want someone to get the vaccine right at the moment that they're infectious with COVID.
All right. And the next question, and several people have asked this, and I hear this a lot, and you must hear this a lot more. There are medications now available. One is from Pfizer, the other is from Merck. Then we have the monoclonal antibodies that have been out a while, a drug called Remdesivir that's been out a while. And these folks, and I'm paraphrasing what they're saying here, but they're saying, I'll take my chances. If I get sick, really sick, I've got one of those medications that I can run. Now, why? Yeah, I knew you'd respond like that.
So let me just bring people a little up to date. So all of those monoclonal antibodies that we've been using a whole lot to help keep people out of the hospital, there are three different flavors of them, but the two that are used the most, like Regeneron, they do not work against Omicron. And so we have literally lost our two best options for if people are, you know, not vaccinated and sort of taking their chances. These new pills we are excited about, but they are in extremely short supply. We have not received a single one yet in the city of Chicago. I think we'll hopefully get our first few hundred of them for the whole city next week. But it is not a moment to be taking your chances and just assuming that you'll be able to get good access to that. One of the biggest concerns about Omicron is the fact that it knocked out those monoclonal antibodies and it didn't give protection for people who previously recovered from COVID. So there were a number of things that have made us concerned. But that's a big one. So please, you know, folks, don't sort of just assume that if you get COVID, you'll be fine. You'll be able to take medicine. It'll be no problem. We've got people all in the hospital in Chicago right now who thought the same thing. And really, the vaccine is what can prevent you from getting COVID. The rest of these treatments, I'm pleased to have them. What they are doing is trying to replicate what the vaccine would have done for you, try to help keep you from getting seriously ill. So it is not as easy as I wish it were. If we had a perfect cure for COVID, we wouldn't have this problem. But unfortunately, we still don't.
Well, and what's more, one of those two medications, as I understand it, is somewhat effective, 30-something percent effective, but that's way less than the vaccine. What's more, right. The other one, there are questions about drug interactions with very common drugs, such as statins and blood pressure medication and antidepressants. And when you go through the entire list that I'm not going through right here, right now, that's a lot of people in America who can't yet, until we know more, even yet take that drug as an option.
Yeah, and to be clear, you know, I'm excited about breakthroughs in drugs. Like, we've been wanting some additional things, but these are nowhere near as safe or effective as the vaccine is. And so they're there as backup for us. If people are vaccinated, they get a breakthrough infection, especially people who might have severe underlying conditions, it's important to have additional help there. But the vaccine, you know, in terms of taking chances, you want to take a chance with the vaccine much more than you do one of these new medications. And you're unlikely to be able to have good access to it right at the beginning anyway, should you need it.
Yeah, I don't understand I really don't, Doctor, the mentality that a pill is okay, even with the facts we just rattled off, that's okay, but yet the vaccine isn't. And I think in part anyway, in great part perhaps, aside from the anti-vaxxers, in great part, it's because politics has been interwoven into science. I mean, I'm getting some text saying that, Dr. Arwady, why aren't you citing the specific studies you're talking about? And I know you're not making this stuff up. And I will ask you one more thing as I go here. And that is, again, tell me the percent of people in Chicago hospitals with COVID that are unvaccinated, totally unvaccinated. What is that percent approximately?
Yeah, it's in the 90% range. 10 times as likely to be in the hospital right now if you're unvaccinated with COVID than if you're fully vaccinated and boosted right here in Chicago. And I think you're right. You know, it's so, I have absolutely no goal. I have zero political aspirations. I'm not elected. I don't make money off this. You'd be amazed what people think. My only goal is to help keep people healthy and to help get Chicago past this pandemic. And I do think there's a lot of misinformation and there's a lot of mistrust. But honestly, when I am recommending that you get a vaccine, that is the same recommendation that I give to every one of my own family members. I don't give any advice that I don't take myself. And trust me, I do my work. I read, I'm up to date in the science, and we've really worked hard to try to make sure we're being as clear as we can as we learn more about the virus. But I do, it has become part of people's identities in some cases, I think, to really not want vaccines. And I feel sad about that mostly because it is by far the best thing that they could do to protect themselves. And unfortunately, on the other side, we see at the health department, because we have to call all the people who have COVID and interview families, you know, you see what happens, unfortunately. Like, I don't go a week without talking to somebody who says, oh, I wish if I'd only known how bad COVID actually was or the people actually get sick, you know, I would have done it. And I just, you know, I hope people will try to kind of put aside some of the rhetoric and really think about the reasons why you want to protect your own life and your family's life. You know, certainly do the research, but do the research in a way that is actually backed by, you know, the full studies that have been done.
So there I was standing waiting for a bus, and it was summer, and this guy and I started talking, young guy, in his 20s, and we're starting to talk, and he, for some reason, I don't know how he got on the subject, I guess it's a subject everyone's talking about, and we were talking about vaccination, and I said, yes, I'm vaccinated. At that point, I hadn't gotten a booster, it was too early, but I was vaccinated for sure. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. It's not going to work, and he was giving me all these reasons as to why, all the reasons I'm sure you've heard. And he said, I'm against it. And I said, he had a short sleeve shirt on. It was hot. I said, do you know what that is on your arm? And he looked on his arm. He said, that's a scar. I said, well, sort of, but that's the polio vaccine you got. And he said, the what? And I said, that's my point. He hadn't even heard of polio, right? And there's a reason why he hadn't heard of polio. That's the goal, correct?
That's the goal. The goal is, there is no goal except to help keep people healthy. That's it. That is the goal of the vaccine. And the corollary of you keeping healthy is that you help everybody around you keep healthy and you help us get past this pandemic. So,
Dr. Arwady, you've been so generous with your time. I thank you so much. I wish you and your family a happy, healthy, and safe New Year.
Same to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.